In the choir room earlier talking about the song we're going to do this morning, and Brother Henry said, "I have a comment," and he talked about this little song right here, and he said this was the reason that he's where he's at, why he's here, why he goes on, is because Jesus loves me. He loves you this morning. He loves you. If you don't know him, you can know him before you leave here today. I want you to stand with me. Let's just do maybe one or two little verses of this for us.
Some days, as we dismiss our children, children's church, those fifth grade and below, some days you're ready to go. Multiple reasons, one being, well, I long to see my Savior. Let's be honest with you, I long to be out of this old pitiful world. Where there's no more sorrow, no more pain. Everyone gets along. We work well together and we praise and bring honor and glory to His name. There's days and weeks that we long to see His face. But just like we're saying there, He's not come yet. He's coming. But while we're waiting, we need to remember Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. I ask you to find your Bible, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. I'm going to ask you, if you will, stand in honor and read God's Word this morning. It reads like this: "We must therefore pay even more attention to what we have heard, so that we will not drift away. For if the message spoken through angels was legally binding, and every transgression and disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was first spoken by the Lord and confirmed to us by those who heard Him. At the same time, God also testified by signs and wonders, various miracles, and the distribution of gifts from the Holy Spirit according to His will." Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your many blessings. I pray, Father, You be with us this morning. May we worship You in spirit and truth. Father, as we look at this message You have for us, Father, hide me behind the cross. It's not me, the one that needs to be seen, Father. It is You and You alone. I pray, Father, there's one here on the sound of my voice that does not know Your Son Jesus, Lord and Savior. Father, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation and they would come to know Your Son Jesus, Lord and Savior. Father, today is the day where someone who has trusted Christ several years ago and the things that we're going to talk about this morning have stricken their life. Father, starting here with me, may I turn to You. May I trust in You. Father, if there's another here that needs that closer walk with You, Father, may they take that step today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we've all heard the story a few weeks ago about how Randy was got into the car business, and Wade kind of gave him a name for his car business that he wanted to get into. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but it didn't last long, but Wade decided he needed to get a vehicle. And he goes out and searches. He said, you know what, Randy is selling vehicles, so I'm going to go talk to Randy. So I want to see what he's got and see if he's got what I need. So he goes and he talks to Randy, and Randy noticed that Wade was wearing this necklace with a cross on it. And he said, Wade, I've got just the car for you. Just the car for you. So Randy took Wade, no pun intended, Randy took Wade back to look at the vehicle, and there it was, a brand new four-wheel drive truck with a cross ornament on the front of it. I mean, Wade, he just fell in love with it. He said, well, that's nice. That is beautiful. And Randy said, you know what? It's the best one I've got. I've nothing like it I've ever seen. He said, you ain't need a key for it. And Wade kind of asked him, said, I know they've got a lot of new technology. And Randy said, you know, it's one of those amazing trucks. You say hallelujah, and it cranks up and starts going. You say amen, and it'll stop. Wade, he just couldn't believe the story about how this took place. So sure enough, he tried it out. Hallelujah. And he's driving down the road. And he comes to a stop sign. Amen. It stopped. He just fell in love with it. Well, Wade, he got the truck, of course, and he kept it for a short time. I'll show you a moment why it was short. But he decides to go on a hunting trip. Boy, just more and more he drove this truck. He just loved it. So he goes on this hunting trip, and he's on the way back, and he had gotten up early, and Wade doesn't get up early, but Wade had gotten up early and gone hunting, and he got tired. He stayed all day hunting, a long hunting day. He was tired, and on the way back, he took a wrong turn, didn't realize it, and he kind of dozed off and hit a few bumps, and he woke up, and he noticed he was heading towards this bluff, and he was about to go off of it. He mashed the brakes. It wouldn't stop. He didn't know what to do. He started praying, Lord, be with me, help me, save me. And he hit him. Right. He said, amen. And the truck stops, I mean, inches from death. Wade gets out, kind of like last week. Wade gets out of the truck. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And off the bluff the truck goes. That truck didn't last long, did it, brother? The moral of this story is Wade remembered the instructions that Randy had given in the nick of time. Then he forgot, and consequences came. And that's what this morning's message is all about. First of all, we need to remember God's instructions. In fact, this is, I think, 6 or 7 warnings that are given in Hebrews that we need to be sure that we don't miss. But this is the first one. In fact, the first chapter, there's not instructions that are given in chapter 1. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about him coming and defeating sin, giving his life upon the cross, in his death, burial, and resurrections, and praise the Lord, hallelujah, let's go. And then chapter 2 comes along, and there's some instructions given to us. And we see the story very well about the warning given to us. As we see there in verse 1, we must therefore pay even more attention to what we have heard. To what we have heard. Too often we're very guilty of hearing things and forgetting things. We hear God's word and we allow life to happen and for some reason, we don't set out to forget God's word, but we're going to see here in the text this morning as we move forward here in just a moment that we need to be on guard. When we know God's word, we know the instructions, and we will not by any means exhaust the instructions given in God's word. We won't even touch the tip of the iceberg, really. But the instructions given to us from God's word are for our benefit. They are for his honor and for his glory. And we need to ensure in our walk with Christ that we don't forget him. Because all too often, as we go through life, we allow ourselves to praise and honor and worship God, and then tomorrow comes, the next moment comes, we got our hands in our pocket, and when's the service going to end? We need to ensure that we remember God's word, because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about what He has done. It's about who He is and the instructions that He has given us to have a better life. Here in the book of Hebrews, big picture, what he's saying here is we do not need to be treating Jesus casually. We don't need to be treating Jesus casually. We cannot act as if we know everything or all that there is to know about Jesus. We don't need to be acting as if there's nothing else that we can learn from Jesus, because we see in the Scripture that God's Word is alive. It's renewed every morning. And God, as we see, we'll get down towards the end of those texts, and I'm going to give you fill in the blanks as we go, but as we get down towards the end of the text, we'll see that He gives gifts. Every believer, every person that surrendered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He gave you a specific gift, and He has a call upon your life. Big question in the story, are you using that gift to bring honor and glory to His name? It's a yes or no question. It's not a maybe. There's not a middle of the road. It's a yes or no question. Am I bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus through the gift that He gave me? Whatever gift that may be. All throughout Scripture, we see it's important for us to walk with Jesus. It's not an option. You see, Hebrews 2:1 literally says it's extremely necessary that we listen to the instructions from God's Word. It's not an option that we can do. It's not an option if we have a crisis coming. Well, we'll get into God's Word. It's not an option if we're going to camp, R-A-G-A, we'll get into God's Word. It's not an option that if we're fixing to prepare a lesson that we'll get into God's Word. We need to be in God's Word all the time. And what's even more struggling is so often we go to camp, we have a crisis, we prepare a lesson, and we're not in God's Word. You're missing the point if we're not in God's Word and you're not prepared by reading and studying and growing to know Jesus Christ more. We need to ensure that we take the correct steps, obey His command. This is not Greg's commands. It's God's. Given to us right here, black, white, and red, all throughout the Scripture. And we need to turn to it. And if we're not opening it up and reading it and looking at it, how can we ever know what His plan for our life is? How can we ever know how to use the gift that He has given us? We need to be in His Word. We need to know Him more. In fact, the book of Hebrews, several times, I'm not mentioning all of them, but a couple of them share with us that we need to really focus and hone in on Jesus. As we see in our text, we need to remember Him. Remember His teachings, if you will, paraphrase. Hebrews 3:1, we need to consider Jesus and who He is. Hebrews 12:1 and 2, we'll read all of it, which says, therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that laid before Him endured the cross and despised the shame as He sat down at the right hand of God's throne. If we choose not to listen to Jesus, if we choose not to consider who Jesus is, if we could choose not to fix our eyes on Jesus, we are rejecting the importance of not only what He's done, but who He is. Our provider, our sustainer, the Creator. An Almighty God who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, no matter what our choice is. But He calls and extends the invitation for us to choose to surrender to Him as Lord and Savior. And there in turn, He gives us redemption. In Him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. There's no other grace that I want to turn to. The grace of Jesus, because it is sufficient, it is everlasting, it is forevermore. So we need to ensure that we are listening to, that we are considering, we are fixing our eyes on Jesus. If the church truly believes Jesus is who he says he is, I think, Greg had to prepare all this, all week long. If the church, if Greg, I'll place my name there. You can place yours if you'd like. If Greg believed with all my might everything about Jesus that I say about Jesus, I would be more actively involved in obeying the given commands that I have in his word. That's Greg pointing the finger right here. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus lived the life without sin. I believe Jesus gave his life upon the cross. I believe he was killed. He was buried. I believe 3 days later he arose in victory over death, hell, and the grave. But he's commanded me to go into hell. And so has he done to you. Are we doing it? So what should we do? We see all these things, all this information that we're called to do as God's children, as God's people. How do we get back on the right track? I think we're giving the very explicit answers here in this text as we look at them this morning. What do we learn from this text? What is God's warning? Number one, you fill in the blank. Do not drift. Do not drift. We should take a stern look at this. And listen this morning. For this reason, we must pay attention to what we have heard so that we may not drift away. In other words, we must guard against drifting away from God and his instructions. The Greek word used here is parario, which means to flow past, to be taken away. Let me tell you something. Drifting doesn't happen, boom, we jump in, boom, I'm all of a sudden downstream. I know we had a lot of rain over the last few weeks, and if you went down to Gunnerville Dam like my family did, you saw that they had how many gates there are, 12, they had all of them opened up, and you saw the water flooding the parking lots, you saw the water strolling down by really fast. If you went fishing down there, you threw it down here, it wouldn't be but a second, you'd be really in this way. The water's moving that fast. But many of us have been, I know I have, been tubing in Townsend and Gatlinburg or many different areas. You've probably been down a lazy river, if you will, and we get on this lazy river, and the thing about it is, it's a shock to begin with because the water's so cold. Let me tell you something. Same thing in a Christian life. You jump in, and it's a shock. I don't need to be here. I don't need to be here. But before too long, this is pretty nice. You get comfortable. You get used to it. Put your hands behind your head and you relax on that float going downstream. And things are going smooth. Things are going well. Church, have we ever been there? We've been there time and time again. But when we start drifting, we don't fastly go out of sight. We slowly go out of sight. When we get in that tube, there's a bridge there that we go under. It takes a while to get there and a long while for it to ever get out of sight. We don't go rushing by it. And that's exactly how it is with the walk of a Christian. We jump in out of where we need to be, away from God, when a shock gets us and we get comfortable with it and we start drifting away. And slowly but surely, we're getting farther and farther and farther and farther away from where God wants us to be. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I think all too many people in this world, in this church, has been there. We don't intentionally set out to walk away from God, but we allow Satan and his distractions and his lies, and to me, myself, and I, it's not what I want. And we allow that to distract us. And we drift away from the true meaning, the true purpose of what the church is called to do, as to glorify his name and to grow his kingdom. If we've not set out to glorify his name and to grow his kingdom, we're missing the mark and we're drifting away from where we need to be. All too often, it's exactly what we're guilty of doing. We're guilty of allowing ourselves to float away. Let me give you another example. It happens a little faster because when we start drifting, we're losing our connection to the power source. You see, when we start drifting, that means we've eliminated something. We've eliminated a power source that's helping us go in the direction that we're called to go in. Here's the example I want to share with you to illustrate my point. I used to love to fish. I fished quite regular. In fact, one of my favorite spots is to go down below the Gunnersville Dam and go down to Shoal Creek, and we'd go up in that little slough and we'd fish a lot. We'd fish regular. We enjoyed the time down there. One time I was on this boat with a friend, and we had fished all evening. We had a great evening, caught a lot of fish, but we was excited, and we just wide up, coming up the stream, headed towards the boat launch, back towards the Gunnersville Dam. I don't know if there's a gate open or not, but if you've ever been there before, the water still flows through. Let me tell you something. All of a sudden, the motor quit, and we lost our power source. And when we lost our power source, we stopped flowing. You don't know what we did? We started drifting away from where we needed to be. We wanted to get up our own load and get back to have the rest of the evening. We wanted to load the boat onto the trailer. We wanted to back the truck down there, get out of the boat, get them fish ready, go get something to eat. But the motor quit, and we no longer headed in the right direction. Same thing holds true as a Christian. You set out, you have a wonderful day, maybe you're doing a great job in ministry. Something happens, and right there, smack down the middle, you lose the source for some reason. Maybe it's you, maybe it's someone else, maybe it's a combination, but some reason the source is eliminated, it seems like. Let me say something first. Jesus Christ will never leave you, and he will never forsake you, but you can walk away from his will, and it will seem as if the power source has walked away, and you start drifting away from where you need to be, away from the call that God has given for us. And you you get there sooner than later, you're a long way from where you know that God wants for you to be. Before you know it, you've drifted plumb out of sight, and you think all in is lost. Let me tell you something. Just like in the life of a Christian, same thing in the life of that boat. First thing we did, what are we going to do? We started looking at each other with a dumbfounded look, you know. What happened? We're heading in the wrong direction. Let's get somebody's attention. Hey, hey, what a nice people down there. You know what they did? Hey, how you doing? We lost the motor. That's nice. I'm catching some fish here. Life goes on. And we think, I don't think anybody intentionally said, I'm not going to help those two people that's floating downstream. I don't care if they do reach Ditto's Landing. That's not what they said. Before too long, you know what I had to do? You know what my friend had to do? We had to paddle. By no means could we paddle back to the Gunnersville Dam, I promise you. But we can go sideways, and we can direct it a little bit. And we helped one another, and we didn't give up and give out and say, you know, I was going to quit. Because we had drifted away, we said, you know, we got to do something about this drifting. I need to get back to the power to a power source. We need back someone that can tow us. So we start paddling. We got over close to somebody. Hey, we're going to slap out. Our motor's quit. We can't go upstream. Do you care to tow us? Well, we'd love to. We've had stuff trouble like that before, too. Let us tow you back upstream. You know what, church? When we come to that point in our lives, we need to turn to Jesus. We need to turn to the source of our help. We need to turn to one another, too. If we don't turn to one another, we're drifting out of sight. We need to turn to our brother away and say, I love you. Will you help me? We'll say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go. And we'll say, amen. Amen. Don't allow ourselves to drift away in a direction away from God's will, away from God's call, away from what he wants for us to be. Trust in him and rely upon him. You'll know if you're drifting. And when you're drifting, turn to Jesus for help, but turn to a brother or sister that you can confide in and say, I need some help. I can't do this alone. I may be a pastor, but it's not about me. It's not for my function the way the church should go. Well, that's why we have committees that have committees that have committees that have meetings that have committees. We want to do the right thing. We want to bring honor and glory to his name. We put the responsibility on one person. Guess what? One person's going to let you down. We turn to Jesus. We work together. Sometimes in life we have to see what the big picture of the message is. and stop drifting and start working to get to a solution to the problem. Number two in our fill in the blank. What is God's warning? Do not neglect. In other words, drifting will lead to neglect. When we start drifting, as I shared with you my story about that motor stopping, we began drifting downstream. We neglected to be going upstream in the direction that we were called to go in. We're getting further and further and further away from where God wants us, where we needed to be. Just like as Christians, we get further and further away from where God wants us to be. Because drifting becomes comfortable, and it happens slowly, and we get comfortable, and we start neglecting what God's called for us to do. The gift that He has given us that we'll look at here in a moment. We need to be on guard against that. And I think, I know that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is trying to say. You know who Jesus is. You hear the Word of God. Continuously turn to the Word of God. Don't drift. Don't neglect such a great salvation. Don't neglect the call that He has for your life. Too often we're guilty of turning to things here, there, and everywhere else, trying to feel this joy, and it's there for a temporary excitement, and boom, it's gone tomorrow, and people pull us down, and we go in the wrong direction. We neglect the reason that we're here. We neglect Jesus. We neglect who He is and what He's done for you. Personally, if it had been you and you alone that was here, He would have given His life for you. But you have to choose to surrender to Him. Have you done it? If your life, let me share this with you. If your life is a constant drift, if your life is a constant neglect, if your life is constantly out of the will of God, you need to reevaluate your relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that I'm a sinner. I Greg Nolan, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I've repeatedly, day in, day out, I need to ask for forgiveness of my sins and shortcomings. I'm a failure. But if we revel in our sin and we don't turn from it, we need to evaluate our relationship with Jesus. Because a Christian, especially a surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God will not stand by and let you just go off to waste. He set you up for success, not failure. If it seems as if He's not there, it's not Him, it's you, it's me who has turned from Him and has neglected Him. As Christians, we can become so distracted, so used to being away from God, so focused upon self, we miss the reality that we are away from God and out of His will. Yes, even church people reach this point. Hebrews 2:3a says, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Church, we have much to be thankful for. Church, we have much to be thankful for. If you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ, until Christ comes, you have much that you could be thankful for if you'd surrender to Him. But when He does, you've neglected this great salvation, and it no longer has a possibility of being yours. Don't neglect it and put it off. Don't allow yourself to drift away. I'm just a good person. I hope I'm good enough to get into heaven. If you do not know Jesus, they're going to be good people in hell because they've not surrendered to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I know that seems difficult, but look, it seems amazing. You know, I learned something from my daughter this past week. She gave her testimony on Wednesday night. And I've heard her say it time and time again. I've probably said it, but it really sunk in when I heard her say it. Jesus died for me. I must live for Him. Let that sink in for just a minute. Jesus died for you. You must live for Him. So the question becomes, am I living for Him, or am I neglecting this great salvation that He offers? The answer again is yes or no. There's no straddling the fence. There's no middle of the road, if you will. Either you are or you are not. Right. Don't neglect such a great salvation that's been given and offered to us. Don't neglect such a great salvation. How does this neglect work? You see, when we drift, we're starting to neglect. Let me share another little tale on myself real quick. When I was a machinist, everything was on schedule. Now, schedules get interrupted, hot jobs come in, all these things take place. But the day looked pretty much the same. Right? We were creatures of habit, if you will, very much so. We got two breaks. We got 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening. I was a machinist for 23-plus years. At the three or four different places that I was at as a machinist, it's about the same amount of time. But the same process happened. We drifted and we neglected, and here's what happened. 10 minutes become 15. 15 become 20. 20 became, you better get your rear end back to work, the person said to come out and said, I need chips on the floor. We have a job to do as Christians too. And too often we're very guilty of taking a break and neglecting to be and to do what God's called us to be and to do. 10 days turns into 20, turns into 30, turns into a year, turns into, before we know it, we don't know where we are. We've drifted and we've neglected what God's called for us to be, what God's called for us to do. I don't have any answers to that other than he calls for you to come back, to trust him, to rely upon him, to be who he's called for you to be, to do what he's called for you to do. Because the Bible shares that we're like a body, and if one portion of the body is sick, the whole body is sick. Church, we need to make sure that we're all healthy. How do we make sure that we're healthy? That's intentional, personal Bible study for everyone that's a part of the body of Christ. Are you in God's Word? Are you studying and growing in God's Word? Yourself, personally. And if you're a teacher, you better so be involved in studying and growing, because you're held accountable. We see in James chapter 3, you're going to be held even more accountable because you're in the teaching prison, if you will. There's more responsibility given to you. So if you're teaching in God's Word and you're not growing yourself, you're missing the mark. You know, if Greg's doing that, Greg needs to repent and get back where Greg needs to be. Stop drifting. Stop neglecting. Number three, because when we drift and when we neglect, we do not use our gifts. I know it says use you. I apologize, I didn't catch that till later, but it's use your gifts, number three. Drifting leads to neglect, which leads to not using our gifts. The gifts that God gave us to grow his kingdom. The gifts that God gave us to glorify his name. Do you see here how one leads to the other? We all know people that this has happened to. We probably, if we're honest about it, I know that I've been there. I've been at a point where it seemed like there was no urgency, no vigilance, there was no focus. I didn't consider fixing my eyes on Jesus, and I sure enough needed to. Church, I think it's important for us to recognize what the gifts that God has given us and use them. Use them for his honor and for his glory to grow his kingdom. The result wasn't because they were standing still. The result's because they're drifting away and neglecting God's word. You see, if you have surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will be active. You will be pursuing Jesus to know him more and to make him known. That's a command given in Scripture. Very quick, like, the command. These are just a few. I told you the tip of the iceberg. We need to repent. We're commanded to repent. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to follow him. Matthew 4:19. Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We need to let our light shine. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. We need to love and pray for our enemies. This is where the rubber meets the road. Love and pray for our enemies. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Treat people as we want to be treated. Matthew 7:12. In everything, therefore, treat people the way that you want to be treated. For this is the law and the prophets. Ask for God to send out workers. Matthew 9:37-38. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I'm going to intercede this right here. I'm going to plug this in. I don't think I'm adding to or taking away from Scripture. Because so many people are drifting and neglecting, the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Make disciples. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So these are some very simple commands given to us in Scripture. If we're not doing these, this is the foundation. If we're not doing these, how do we ever expect to be doing any of the rest? Chances are, we're not. Because if we're not doing these, we may want to reevaluate our call upon what God's instructed for us to do. And you don't start with Greg. You start right here in God's Word. And see what it says. See what it says. Look to them. Now these are just a few that give us a big picture of what's taking place in our society today. It reminds me of a story of a pastor who preached a series of sermons on the sins of the saints. Now let me tell you something. I wouldn't be preaching it. I'd be where you are listening. Sins of the saints. A church member approached him and asked him, or told him, you need to let up because the sins of the saint are different from the sins of the world. He replied, you are correct because you should know better. I got to sit down on that one. I think it was Warren Wiersbe I got that quote from. When I read that the first time, why am I going to tell these people that? You really want me to say that? I struggle with it myself. Hey, I know my child, but I'm just as much as I am your Savior, I am their Savior too. Just as much, Greg, as you need to know the truth, they need to know it too. So don't think your pastor just puts together a message, oh, maybe this will work this week. Your pastor struggles with it every day. Usually on Monday, I know about where we're going to be headed. If we're going through a book, I know in weeks in advance where we're going to be headed. This is next. This is next. But God always seems to me, for some reason, takes me through a fire, through hell, so I can help preach to you a truth of redemption. Because we need to know the truth. Greg needs to know the truth. So we need to be using our gifts. Because we know better than to drift away. We know better than to neglect where God wants us to be. We know better than to not use the gifts that God has given for us to bring honor and glory to His name and to grow His kingdom. We need to move forward. Turn with you, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is just some scriptures that reaffirms what we've been talking about. It says, therefore, dear friends, since you know this in advance, be on your guard so that you are not led away by the error of lawless people and fall from your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Church, we need to be on guard on the truth of God's Word. Not Greg's Word, not your Word, God's Word. What does He call for us to be in our walk? Are we neglecting it? Are we drifting? Are we using our gifts? The answer is yes or no. So in conclusion, does anyone in here desire to know Jesus more? You know, I've never spoke to any Christian that ever said, you know, I don't want to know any more about Him. Every single one of them wants to know more about their Savior. And God gave us His Word to reveal Himself to us. But too often we drift away and we neglect to open God's Word. Let me ask you another question. Does anyone here this morning desire to stand before Jesus and tell Him you did not use your gifts to bring honor and glory to His name? Let me ask you a question again. So let it sink in. Does anyone here this morning desire to stand before Jesus and tell Him you did not use your gifts to bring honor and glory to His name and to reach others? It doesn't matter how you answer it. According to God's Word, you're going to get that opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the tribunal of Jesus Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether it is good or whether it is worthless." So I've got two words of wisdom. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. So we get ready for a song of invitation. Church, I know this was a tough message. There's a lot of stuff in God's Word that's not easy to swallow. There's a lot in God's Word that we ought to be celebrating. Forgiveness. So that means right here, right now, if you've been drifting, you've been neglecting, and you've not been using your gifts, and you're headed down that path, and you know you're going towards the wrong direction, and you know you need to change, Jesus is holding His hands out, and He's saying, "My child, come back to Me. I want you to come back to Me." He's not left you. He's not forsook you. And He just wants you to call out to Him, because the Bible shares in 1 John 1:9 that if we repent and confess of our sins, He is faithful and just to restore us to righteousness. All you have to do is call out. Admit to Him. And let Him love you. And let Him love others through you. You may be here this morning, you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, very simple message. I'm going to share with you a couple of scriptures. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you've not surrendered Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, there's only one way to put it. You're heading for a place called hell. But that does not mean there's not hope, because Jesus has extended that hope when His death, burial, and resurrection that He gave it for you upon the cross. So the Bible goes on to say, Romans 10:9-10, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God is raising from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes in their righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. It's a gift there for the taking, but you've got to take this first step. If you'll take the first step, I promise you, He will carry you the rest of the way. And there'll be a crowd of people in here celebrating the Lord with you. So if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, won't you come? I urge you, I plead with you, I beg you, it's all over. Won't you come? Won't you come? Stop drifting. Stop neglecting. And use what God's given you. Accept that freedom that He's offered to you. The redemption of your sins because of His grace. Won't you come? Won't you come? As we stand, as we sing, hymn number. Won't you come? Thank you.
Don't neglect this great salvation. Boom.